morning.
We'll call the July 19th Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing on our agenda will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker?
Yes, we do have several suggested changes.
Okay.
First, Town of Bethel local law enforcement agreement. We'd like to defer on that item. There is some question on that. On the ordinance to adopt an adequate public facilities ordinance under Mr. Godwin, we'd like to also defer on that for at least 1 week.
Okay.
And then the ordinance regarding commercial gambling districts for casinos, there had been some last-minute changes to that that we would like to, so we'd like to defer on that for a week, too.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, yes, under executive session, I'm sorry. We do not need job applicants' qualifications, personnel, or land acquisition. So it would only be pending potential litigation.
Okay.
Let me change that. We do need personnel on there. We do need personnel.
Okay.
I move that we approve the amended agenda.
A second.
Have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We, in our packets, had the minutes from June 28th. Any corrections, changes to those? Hearing none, they will stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have two letters. The first one's addressed to Ms. Deaver on behalf of VFW Post 2931 and the Ladies Auxiliary. I would like to express our appreciation for your donation of $625. Your donation with that of Councilman Wilson totals $1,250 and will be used for signage. The signage will provide advertising for special events and general post information for many to see and generate much needed support. It is the support of our communities that allow us to meet the expenses of our duty to serve those who have served us. You are cordially invited to attend our National POW MIA Recognition Day ceremony on Friday, September 16th at 4 p.m. We will be recognizing dignitaries and special guests who support our military personnel and their families. Sincerely, Judith L. Lawson, Treasurer of the VFW 2931 Ladies Auxiliary. The second letter is from the First State Resource Conservation and Development Council, Inc. Dear Councilwoman Deaver, on behalf of the First State Resource Conservation and Development Council, Inc., I want to thank you for your donation of $200 to support the work of the Council's Emergency Home Repair Project. Your generous donation will help our project provide support for, recognize, and reward our volunteer youth group from Utica, New York, as they complete their 20th consecutive year of service to the low-income resident homeowners in Sussex County. During their week here, the volunteers will perform essential home repairs on a dozen or more homes and eliminate housing conditions that are considered to be unhealthy or unsafe. We'd also like you to join us at the pavilion at Cape Henlopen State Park at 1:30 on July 15th to recognize their efforts. We are particularly grateful for the great relationship our project has with the Sussex County Council. If at some point in the future the Council would like to be like a presentation and or report on our project's activities, please feel free to contact me. It would be my pleasure to meet with you, and thanks again for all your support. And it's signed by Frederick Trout, Housing Project Manager. And Ms. Deaver, I apologize if I mispronounced his last name.
No, you got it right.
Council,
I have a letter from Dr. Gary Ray from the Fort Miles Historical Association. He would just like to be on the agenda sometime in the near future. Tell us about a new project that they have. Do you want this letter, or should I give it? Pass it down to Robin.
Give it to Robin.
Okay.
Yeah, and get with Mr. Baker, and we'll get him on the agenda.
Very good. Thank you.
Anything else from Council? I neglected to mention earlier, I guess I should have, that Councilman Cole was not here today. He is representing not only Sussex County, but Delaware at the National League of Counties annual meeting, and it is in Portland, Oregon. He'll be back, I think Thursday or something like that. So I'm sure it represents well. Mr. Baker.
Yes. The first item we have is recognition for our engineering department. We'd like to take this opportunity to recognize our county staff who worked very hard over the last 2.5 years to complete 5 different wastewater projects, and I have a list of those projects for you. By quickly working to cover a large workload with these projects, the county was able to take advantage of an attractive bidding climate, provide work for county residents, replace approximately 2,669 existing septic system along the inland bays, and take advantage of one-time funding opportunities, including some grants and low-interest loans to save money for our residents. The county engineering department was overseeing at one time 12 different construction contracts at once. Previous to this period, our staff recalls overseeing a maximum of 5 at one time. The engineering department had less than 1 year to award construction costs for these projects after funding was announced by USDA and the Clean Water Advisory Council. We are especially pleased that these projects are under budget and substantially under cost, which were estimated in 2007 when public meetings and referendums occurred before the project started. So as you can see, we have on this handout, we have a list of the projects, but we also have a list of two of these projects that went into effect, rates went into effect July 1st this month, and that's Angola and Johnson's Corner. And as you can see, the rates are 22 and 25% less than what the residents there were told at referendum time. Plus, there was without connection fees. And we certainly want to thank our staff that did work hard on and rushing and getting this work done to take advantage and help our residents. And I have a proclamation to honor the Sussex County Engineering Department for its successful completion of simultaneous public wastewater projects since 2009. Whereas the County Council wishes to recognize the Sussex County Engineering Department for its successful completion of simultaneous construction projects to extend public sewer service to the residents of Sussex County. And whereas the Sussex County Engineering Department is charged with planning, executing, and maintaining county-owned infrastructure projects for the betterment of Sussex County citizens. Whereas the Engineering Department and staff since 2009 admirably managed at least 12 contracts for 5 public wastewater projects that attracted more than $60 million in federal funding. Whereas the County Engineering Department dedicated at least 1/3 of its nearly 150 member staff to successfully guide these projects from concept to reality, representing an unprecedented level of commitment of county resources. And whereas the County Engineering Department's guidance was critical to the success of projects that provided much-needed construction jobs for our economy in the short term and will ensure a healthy environment for county residents in the decades ahead. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the County Council commends the Engineering Department for its successful completion of these wastewater projects in service to the people of the county and proclaims July 19, 2011, as a day for Sussex County residents to honor the dedicated professionals who serve within. And we have a number of the Engineering Department staff here who worked on this, a few that did work on this.
Big department.
Don't be bashful. Gather around there.
Wow.
Come on. You can't all get on one side now.
The taller ones in the back.
Yeah, tall. The shorter ones in the back. I can't get any far back with this.
I think that's the way she prefers.
You got a wide angle in there. We can all get in. Uh-oh. Snuggle up. Get close.
Anthony, can you get that?
You're a pain.
Are you done?
Yeah. Can we get a paper?
Mike, thank you. I'm not sure. You better check with Dave on that. But thank you all for very much for all the effort that you put forth in this. We really appreciate it. Job well done.
If I could just say a couple words to most of our staff, I really had to strong arm them to come down here because they would very much prefer to be working behind the scenes and just be up in their offices doing their work. And I always say that our employees are our greatest resource because they do take a lot of pride in their work, and they definitely do look out for the residents of Sussex County when they're performing their work and as far as how they administer their projects. Thank you.
Thank you all again very, very much.
The next item is Milton Library Repair Project, and we have a number of maintenance improvements that are needed at the Milton Library. Mr. Doug Stokely, Director of Buildings and Grounds, and his staff have put together bid packages for individual parts of the work. We have set aside funds in the fiscal 2011 capital improvement budget for the work. By pricing the work with local contractors, we believe that we can complete the work timely, obtain quality workmanship, and employ local residents, and at the same time save money. So we are recommending that we price out separately parts of the work. The scope of the work includes replacement of a flat roof on the original part of the old building, which is was renovated approximately 30 years ago. Replace most heat pump units on the original building flat roof that are approximately 20 years old, which would include new ductwork and will improve the efficiency in the building, and replace old windows especially along the riverside of the building, which requires use of a special lift to reach the windows because the main side of that building fronts directly on the river. And it will improve efficiency by replacing some of the single pane old windows that are there. Additionally, a small project to recaulk a leaking window on the back of the building will be completed. We wanted to update the council on the project, and Mr. Stokely has provided some pictures of the work, I think, in your packet, or the problems areas, and he can explain that.
Yeah, Doug Stokely with Sussex County Facilities Management, and we are seeking the council's approval to move forward with this project. And if you look in your photo addendum, the first item to be repaired, shown on page 2, is a 30-plus-year-old flat roof with the interior wall siding, which you can see has quite a bit of wind damage. Page 2 photo and page 3A and B also show a rooftop HVAC unit that has considerable damage and age. The replacement of the flat roof, the siding, and the HVAC equipment should be done at the same time. The fall season would be best time to do these repairs due to the minimal heating and cooling requirements of the building. Along with the replacement of the nearly 20-year-old rooftop unit, two other heat pumps on this roof should be replaced. There is one that was replaced probably within the last 5 years. We're going to retain that unit. It has life left to it. Page 3, photo C, shows the HVAC condensate drain draining across the shingled roof. We'd like to remedy that by putting in a new drainage system to collect that condensate. Next proposal is to replace the drafty single pane windows shown on page 4, photos A, B, and C. They would be replaced with the same manufacturer that we used in photos D and E, And that part of the building was renovated in 2008. We do believe these renovations will make for a much more attractive, comfortable, and energy-efficient building. The Milton Library and Facilities Management would appreciate your consideration in this proposal.
Do we charge people to, groups to use the library? Just curious. I know Lewis does that, charges.
We have not been charging, but that is something we consider. I know the town was using the library. There are a number of meetings that are held there.
Just asking, I don't know.
That is something we could consider.
And what you're asking for today, Doug, is the ability to move forward and get pricing?
Yeah, we do have some pricing, and so we could proceed at any time.
I mean, you already have the pricing?
We do have some pricing. I think the finance director has a rough idea of what the numbers would be.
As David discussed in doing the parts separately, we have looked at quotes to get estimates to see what it was going to cost us to make sure we were in our budget.
Right, but those are not there. You got quotes or actual bids from somebody?
Quotes.
Okay.
I think he's wanting approval to move forward with a project of a renovation of the size.
There are basically four separate parts to it, so they were separately bid out. Mr. Stokely moved ahead with that part, but we wanted, before awarding any of the work, we wanted to bring the council up to date and to get authorization to move ahead.
So in other words, all the four are less than $50,000, so we don't have to go through a formal bid process, correct?
Each individually is less than $50,000. The total of the work is around
83,000.
Okay, 83,000.
83,000.
There's 122,000 in the capital improvement budget. We held off on some of the other work. There is work that needs to be done. The roof needs to be repaired, or the paint. There needs to be some painting done on that side of the building and in the old part of the building.
And the shingled roof
on the old part of the building, but that's not included in this scope of work.
Right.
Okay. Are those numbers and folks available to us as a council?
Sure.
I didn't see anything in our packet.
See what we need.
I don't have those numbers with me today.
You do not?
No, I do not today.
They are the same as roughly a week ago, correct, Doug?
Yeah.
The original part of the building, the flat roof, demolition and replacement, the low bid was for $14,235, John L. Briggs and Company was the low bidder. The original part of the building, HVAC, demolition and replacement on flat roof, we had four bids. And the low bid was AirPro Mechanical from Georgetown, $23,341.51. The window replacement, there are, I think, four bids on that one.
Four.
And the low bid was Wilson Contracting, $45,810. And then the other, there is a small job, which was about, I don't have that price, it was like
$1,400, I think, for the window ceiling.
To re-caulk some of the windows in the back where there's a leaking problem, $1,495. And do you know the name of that company?
Charles Brown Glass Company.
Okay.
Well, I got confidence in Mr. Stokely's proposal, so if a motion is in order, I'd be happy to make
sure.
It.
Sure, we'll entertain a motion.
So moved to accept the recommendation of our facilities manager, Mr. Stokely, to move forward with the renovations on the Milton Library's roof and HVAC.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to move forward with the Milton Library project as presented by Mr. Stokely. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your approval.
The next item is Board of Adjustment Fees, and as you may recall, at the June 21st meeting, there was discussion at the council meeting regarding Board of Adjustment application fees that we charge. As explained at that meeting, the approximate cost of a board application is $329, excluding staff time for posting and preparing minutes, attending meetings, etc. Staff time is estimated to cost an additional $127 per application on average. Additional information was requested by the county council then. Newcastle County charges $300 for a dimensional variance for an individual residential lot or use. They have a more complicated fee schedule where they have many larger fees for additional types of applications. They charge $1,500 for a use slash beneficial use variance for a residential lot. Kent County Levy Court charges Board of Adjustment fees for variances based on the number of variances requested per parcel. So for 1 to 3 variances per parcel, they charge $250, $350 for 4 to 6 variances per parcel, $400 for 7 to 9, and 10 or more, $450. They also charge $300 for administrative appeals and interpretation questions. Sussex County currently charges, as you know, $400 for special use exceptions as well as variances. If we've put together some options, if the county council would like to make some changes, but any of these would require a change in ordinance, so we'd have to go develop a public an ordinance change and go to public hearing. Since January 1st, 77% of the board cases in the county were variances, and 8% were variances related to manufactured homes. Special use exceptions, which typically require more staff and time, represented 23% of the applications. And as you can see from the spreadsheet, in fiscal year 2010, there were a total of 210 applications, and based on the percentages so far this year, out of the 210 estimated, that would mean 49 special use exceptions, 16 variances related to manufactured homes, and 145 other variances. Currently, at $400 for each application, that would bring in about $84,000 a year. If we, for instance, reduce the charge for variances from $400 to $250, then our revenue would be an estimated $59,850, a reduction of about $24,000. That would leave special use exceptions at $400. If we reduced variances related to manufactured homes to $250 and left the other variances and special use exceptions at $400, there would only be about a $2,400 loss in revenue. If we reduced all the fees for special use exceptions or variances to $300, there would be about a $21,000 loss in revenue. So we wanted to bring these to your attention and for possible discussion today.
Okay. It's a pleasure, Council.
Well, the manufactured home parks changes that are requested, are they taking less time than other applications, or is there some?
I'll defer to Mr. Lank on that.
Step right up, Mr. Lank.
What is the thinking there?
There really isn't much difference in the time, whether it be a special exception, unless it's for something major, you know, cell tower or something of that nature, that takes more time. Than a manufactured home issue in a park. The public hearing process is basically the same amount of time. The advertisement's the same, the postings are the same, everything's the same except for the amount of time it might take during the public hearing, and that would only affect staff time and board members.
Okay.
So the amount of time, no matter what the reimbursement that the board members get, doesn't matter if it's an hour meeting or if it's 4 hours. It's
really
the reimbursement doesn't change.
Okay, but the value.
The time it varies. Every case is different.
Mm-hmm.
You could have an issue in a manufactured home park or an issue on a cell tower. You could have no opposition, or you could have 20 or 30 or more folks there that want to speak up in opposition. So every case is different. It's really hard to say. As far as the fees and what's collected, what's advertised, and what's posted, it's all the same.
Mm-hmm. But the values of the homes in question would be a lot less at the manufactured home parks.
If you're getting into the issue of what the values are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's about the only difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But time-wise, and as far as the hearings are the same.
Expenses are the same. Thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Anything else from council? Comments, thoughts?
Well, I'd certainly like
next.
I'd like to keep this moving forward. Is there a consensus, I guess, on which of the options Mr. Baker has suggested would be good? If there is no strong opinions, I'll just get together with Mr. Baker and Mr. Moore and get something put together and have it introduced. I just believe that the public is paying way too much to comply with our regulations at $400 per application. And in this economy, it's a great burden to many people who just want to do the right thing. And I've given the example where somebody came in actually wanting to put up a shed or some kind of a carport. And once they found out they had to pay $400, they turned around and left. Mm-hmm. So they either went out and did it illegally because they couldn't handle the cost, or they just decided not to build it, which is a detriment to our economy. So either way, I think it's time we maybe bring these back down to where they were before, would be my preference. But
that would be my, I agree with that, Vance. For the small matters, individual residential applications are costing $400, plus they're usually asked for a site survey, and that's usually at least $600. So to change, to replace a shed in a mobile home park, it's $1,000. It's too much.
It is. That would fall in the category of variances in most cases, Mr. Moore? Maybe what I would suggest that staff draft is an ordinance that simply changes, reverts our fee for variances back to the original 150, and we keep the current $400 fee for special use exceptions, which oftentimes are more involved and may fall on someone who can better afford it than the average homeowner.
Let me ask a question. When they bring these double wides into the older parks with the smaller lots and they need a variance or a special exception, is that something that, what would be the price then? I mean, that's a business, and there's a lot of conflict with those. So I'm wondering where would that fall in the price structure?
That would be
I don't think we can do that, can we?
A mobile home park doesn't differentiate between a single and a double.
Uh-huh.
They're both mobiles, or manufactured homes, excuse me. What they apply for is typically a setback,
mm-hmm,
for spacing between units, or else the 35%. Because matter what size the lot is, they're not allowed to exceed 35% lot coverage without a variance.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is, the discussion is based on typically setbacks, spacing, which is 20 foot between any improvements on a neighboring lot,
mm-hmm,
and then 35% lot coverage.
But some of them will be coming in for variances.
Oh, we do. Mm-hmm. That's probably a good percentage,
mm-hmm,
or the majority probably on the double wides,
mm-hmm,
is the 35% lot coverage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the older parks, they're 3,000 to 4,000 square foot lots, makes it difficult,
mm-hmm,
sometimes even for a larger single, with a 14 footer sometimes difficult, but.
You would agree the special use exceptions are more involved in most cases.
Special use exceptions are more involved as far as time in the public hearing process. As I said earlier, the advertisement, the posting, everything is the same.
Understood.
I mean, basically, the ad is similar. The posting is the same. You post it one time on the site, and you post it in the paper twice to be able to advertise it. Or a paper, then papers twice, had posted two papers.
Is there a typical applicant that could be identified using the special use exception process? Is that normally businesses?
It could be a cell tower. That seems to be the most popular ones here lately. It attracts the most attention.
Well, they can afford
it. But the time that you get into there is during the public hearing, so the only additional charge you would get there would be staff time. It wouldn't be the board members.
Yeah, I'm not so much concerned on the cost side. As I said, I think that we create regulations and then we force the public to comply. And it's not a user fee, it's a regulation compliance fee. But I am interested in maybe allowing those fees to remain at $400 to those who can't afford it, such as Verizon and AT&T.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a mix, a large mix of what special exceptions are, but typically they're more involved than a variance application.
Right. Your average homeowner.
You're dealing with a concrete batch plan, an asphalt plan, a cell tower. They're the three biggest, probably the three bigger draws.
Okay.
Schultz?
Well, if there's no objection from council, not asking you for your vote, I will ask staff to draft the ordinance to bring our variance fee back to the original $150. And I plan to introduce it when it's presented and we can have a public hearing and just see how it falls. Any problem with that?
Mr. Wilson, any comment?
I kind of think we need to stay to user's fees. If it's whatever it's cost us, we should stay somewhere in that neighborhood. It's never fair for someone else to pay someone else's bill, regardless. You can use the excuse of being poor or whatever. We should always charge somewhere near. I'm a favor of, if it costs you $2 to cross the bridge, you should pay $2 and not let someone that doesn't use the bridge pay half of it that doesn't use it. Same way in this deal here. I'm strictly a user person.
Okay.
And if it costs that much money for us to operate, whatever it costs, we need to stay near that cost. I'm not saying we should be extracting it and charge a lot more, but we should stay somewhere near a user's fee.
Not to be argumentative, but we've often talked about how many of our departments are charging far more than what it's costing them to operate. And when you consider the millions of dollars of surplus revenue that is brought in by the recorder of deeds, by the sheriff's office, by the register of wills, I don't see anyone at this council going headlong wanting to reduce those fees other than maybe myself. I mean, we're quick to maybe look the other way when there's a surplus, but we get very excited when we're having to subsidize, you know, a small homeowner just trying to comply with these regulations. So,
but Mr. Wilson's statement, the fees probably don't meet the cost.
Understood.
We probably exceed it when you throw, if you throw in staff time, not even count what staff time is in the office, just count the additional staff time and participating in the public hearings and the reimbursement of the board members, then you're going to exceed the fee that we're already charging.
Well, Councilman Phillips work with staff and come up with a proposed ordinance and we'll move that forward and we'll have a very nice discussion during a public hearing and move forward.
But the time to adjust that ordinance would not be at the hearing. It would not, would it not? In other words, the discussion about the structure has to take place before then or not?
I intend to just keep it simple and say we're going to reduce our variance fee down to the 150. We'll keep the special use exemption at the 400 because I believe they are more able to pay for it.
Okay. Yeah. All the variances. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's okay. And, you know, we can modify it to some degree after the public hearing as long as it doesn't deviate too far from the title of the ordinance, I believe.
You could adjust it anywhere in between if you advertised it to be 150. It's already at 400, so anywhere in between would still be, could still be maintained.
Very good.
Thank you, sir. Next, Mr. Baker.
Okay.
City of Rehoboth Water Agreement.
There you go.
Yes. The County Council has a water agreement with the City of Rehoboth Beach that has been in place for the supply of water for the Dewey Beach Water District since the late 1970s. Over the last few months, the county representatives have been worked with City of Rehoboth representatives to negotiate a new agreement. The previous agreement actually expired December 31st, 2010, but the county has been paying city at the old rates per the expired agreement. The city initially requested a considerably greater increase in rates, but based on our negotiation, the following is suggested for your consideration. As you can see, the prior rate was $2.30 per 1,000 gallons, basically during the summer months, and $1.70 per 1,000 gallons during other months. The proposed rate is $2.80 per 1,000 gallons for summer months and $1.80 per 1,000 gallons during the other months. The city had originally asked for $3 per 1,000 gallons during the summer months and $2.25 per 1,000 gallons during the winter months, plus 10 cents a year increase for the five-year agreement. And they have agreed to cut that request to 6 cents a year. And then, as you can see, we did negotiate the proposed rates at $2.80 and $1.80 per 1,000 gallons. The proposed agreement reflects additional costs that the city has incurred for infrastructure. It's my understanding the city spent approximately $7 million on a new well site 3 or 4 years ago. The city currently charges its in-town customers $2.67 during summer months and $1.67 during winter months. And their out-of-town rates are double that, $5.34 during the summer and $3.34 during the winter. The agreement does represent an increase of approximately 18% in cost, it is, they have had some major increases in cost, and Mrs. Webb did do an analysis of the cost, the actual cost, based on their last audit that did reflect major increases. We have representatives from the city here today. Mayor Sam Cooper and Town Manager Greg Farese are here. If you have any questions, it's my understanding that the City Council did approve the agreement Friday night, I think. Friday night meeting.
And these numbers came to from your negotiations with them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing in this contract that this money gives a raise to the mayor, I assume?
No.
Oh, no.
Raise the mayor?
Nothing.
Okay.
I didn't see that between the lines. No.
Or Mr. Freak.
Okay.
I would like to add, we did anticipate an increase in the budget for 2012, even though the contract hadn't been finalized, and we were pretty much right on target, so our budget is
okay.
So, do we pass these costs on?
Like you,
yes,
because we are concerned.
Yes, these are a responsibility of the Dewey Water District, and they bill us based on the actual flow each quarter or each month, I think, right now. Each month on the water contract,
each month,
yeah.
Sam, any more questions from council?
Seems like water's going up.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the?
I guess it's due to the drought. They got to drill deeper.
That's it. Got to go deeper. What's the pleasure of council?
We have a recommendation.
Yes.
The resolution. While we could take a look at that.
Proposed motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves a new agreement with the City of Rehoboth, whereby the City of Rehoboth will continue to provide public water for the Dewey Beach Water District through December 31, 2015.
I'll introduce that. I'll make that motion.
That's a motion.
Second.
I have a motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on a motion?
I think this is Mr. Cole's district. Did he weigh in, or did I miss it when I stepped out?
No, he's not in the country. He's in Portland.
Have you spoken to Mr. Cole about this prior to today?
I did talk to him yesterday, but I didn't talk to him about this. I don't think in the past when we've talked about it, I'm not aware of any issues that he had with it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Any more questions? I'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. And then the
thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank
City
you.
Manager. Al Godwin.
No, we have the county administrator.
Oh, I'm sorry. I almost skipped you by trying to get through you, wasn't I? Okay.
First item is county website improvements. A new page listing county legal notices, including those for planning and zoning application, board of adjustment variances, and county council ordinances, and is included on the county's website. The county will continue to advertise its legal notices in local papers. The addition of this website will help further notify citizens who are interested in the public process. Our website is www.sussexcountyde.gov. The page can be accessed under Online Services Legal Notices. Attached is a copy of the Legal Notices page as of July 18th. Additional information regarding individual hearings can be accessed by highlighting the case number on the web page. Also, updated tax maps that now show county zoning categories in an easy-to-read fashion are available on our website. These maps are the same as the county's standard tax maps already offered on the website, but with color-coded shading to indicate zoning for all parcels in the county. The maps can be found on the Planning and Zoning Department's homepage, and again, there's a temporary link under new items on the main Sussex County webpage. County staff will review these maps quarterly and update them as needed, and I wish to thank Ms. Debbie Morris and Buddy Lynch, who county staff who worked on getting this done.
Big improvement.
Good. Thank you. Emergency Operations Center June call statistics. Attached is information regarding 911 calls for June. As noted, 9,729 911 calls were received during June, and reflecting the continuing growth of wireless calls, 76% of those calls were from wireless sources. New Veterans Center, Sussex County. As per the attached email, a new Veterans Center is open in Sussex County at a temporary location in Lewis, across from the Delaware Guidance Program on Willow Creek Road, Lewis. This new center offers counseling for veterans and their families. A permanent location is anticipated within the next few months in Georgetown on Route 113 next to the Burger King. Attached is contact information regarding the program. Kevin E. Dilk, county employee. We regret to inform you of the passing of a county employee, Mr. Kevin E. Dilk, public works technician for the engineering department, public works division. Mr. Dilk has worked for the county since April 1st, 2005. He's been an active fire company member in the Roxana and Millville volunteer fire companies. He had many other interests. He will be missed by county staff. We wish to express our sincere condolences to Mr. Dilk's family and friends. Forecasted heat wave. A major heat wave is forecast to affect Sussex County later this week, with temperatures Friday and Saturday expected to be near or above 100. Residents and visitors are reminded that county libraries will once again serve as cooling stations to offer relief from the heat. Tips to beat the heat include avoiding prolonged exposure and strenuous activity, drinking plenty of hydrating fluids, and wearing light, loose-fitting clothing. For more information on how to cope with extreme heat, visit the FEMA website, which we have listed, and additional preparedness tips are available on the county's EOC's webpage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Any questions?
If I could, please.
Mr. Deaver?
I have been told by some folks who were at a recent hearing they're having a lot of trouble hearing what the council is saying. And I don't know if it's the system or we're not speaking into the mics, but I do get a lot of those complaints.
So I'm not speaking in the mic.
Is it?
I think it's me and us. These are high tech, good microphones. I remember the old ones; you couldn't hear it even if you were on top of them. But
mm-hmm. Okay,
I'll try to do better.
Anything else? Now, Mr. Godwin, legislative update.